everybody. Welcome to the Unscripted Wrestling Podcast. I am your humble, gracious, and sexy host, Daniel Hummer. I'm here with my brother, Doug.
Yo.
I'm here with our good friend, Eric.
What up, people?
Not much. On this episode of Unscripted Wrestling, we have our first edition of a new thing we're doing, War Drums. We're going back to the Monday Night War and kind of reviewing WWF Raw and WCW Nitro from the date of 4/14/97, April 14th, 1997.
Yeah.
Later that year, a legend would be born. Me.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
You prick.
Eric, it's okay that you didn't get it, but since I happened
to like
be
a thinking face, too, you
yeah.
dickhead.
No, I thought you meant Stone
like
Cold.
Stone Cold wasn't born in 1997.
The character made. Well, no, actually, no, the character was born in 96.
Yeah.
This
is going to be a fun one. It was fun watching both episodes, and it'll be fun kind of comparing and giving our ratings and see what we liked, what we didn't like, and all that fun stuff. Before we get all into all that, let's go to Doug with the plugs.
All right, make sure you listen to Boxman and Smart, the Dirt Sheet Dudes, every Wednesday night. Mixlr.com/DirtSheetDudes, about 10:15, 10:20 is Eastern Time. They can be found on all major podcast platforms. When Smark is unavailable to be on, a.k.a. drunk, then Eric will be on. But Smark has been attending his AA classes and has been very good lately, so he has been on. And then, of course, listen to them Saturday nights, 9:30 p.m. Eastern Time on blogtalkradio.com/Hollywood Hangout for the Hollywood Hangout. I'm not sure if they're doing a show tomorrow. Eric only talks to them on a regular basis. I only talk to them when I need to.
You said Black Talk.
Oh. On Mixlr.com/Hollywood Hangout. Don't look for him here on Blog Talk. I mean, this is $40 a month. I ain't going to pay that.
That's going to kick your ass next time you see him.
I know, right?
He's in Texas. Make sure you listen to them. Listen to us. Friday night, 6:30 p.m. Eastern Time here on blogtalkradio.com/everythingunscripted. For the Unscripted Wrestling Podcast. Of course, tonight is the first episode of War Drums, which War Drums get played every time we go to the dinner table.
Or the bathroom.
Yeah. I would say the bedroom, but not me. And of course, next week here on the podcast will be a rivalry retrospective of John Cena and Edge.
Yes.
Of course, next Saturday.
I cannot wait for that one.
Next Saturday is John Cena's birthday. He shares it with an ugly bastard. Actually, two ugly bastards, because he shares it with both myself and Tony Atlas.
Tony Atlas was handsome.
Oh, I thought you were talking about. Never mind.
No. I can't mention the name you think I'm going to mention because we'll get in more trouble.
Who is it?
I'm not going to say it. No, don't do it.
No.
Just kidding.
Yeah. I'll text it to you. Well, actually, Eric, you already know.
Yeah.
But so that is next Friday. And then April 29th, we're going to have a special episode. We're going to have our first ever unscripted Lethal Lottery / Battle Bowl.
Yes, sir.
We're each picking 15 names. Eric, Daniel, and I already have. Clintus has to, whether he wants to or not. And then that'll put 60 names that we're going to draw. So we're going to draw 30 tag teams for 15 tag team matches.
Yeah.
Then we're going to, obviously, we're going to book the winners.
Yes.
And then put them in a Battle Bowl, Battle Royal. And then decide who's going to win that. So we've already got some fun names picked. Daniel picked Scotty Too Hottie and Big Cat Ernie Ladd. Very similar. So that'll be coming up in 2 weeks. And then I'll update everybody on what we're going to be doing in the month of May. One, when it gets closer. And two, once I figure it out. Tomorrow night, 7 p.m. Eastern Time here on blogtalkradio.com/everythingunscripted. Daniel and I will be here for Unscripted Unlimited. And we are going to be talking Justice League, Throne of Atlantis, and The Peacemaker.
Yes.
We
had a lot of fun watching both those things.
Exactly. So Daniel and I will be reviewing it. There will be no Unscripted Unlimited next Saturday because it'll be my birthday and Eric and I will be too busy giving each other lap dances.
That went over like,
yeah, that went over like a fart in church. Daniel just looked at me. Daniel either gave me the look of why did you say that on air or why didn't you mention my name?
Where's my invite?
Anyway.
It's bullshit. It's fucking bullshit.
Now, Sunday, even though Easter is on Sunday, is there still going to be a stab cast?
This Sunday?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay.
The Boogeyman Retrospective.
The Boogeyman Retrospective. This, of course, is the Boogeyman movie.
Not the wrestling, no.
Okay.
The Boogeyman movie retrospective, 1 and 2. We're going to have a lot of fun talking about it. Me and Mindy are going to dive deep into the movies, deep, very deep, balls deep, and we're going to enjoy it. And the people are going to enjoy it.
Yeah.
And then we're going to raise the gas prices.
Technically, Biden raised
it. Yeah, we're going to lower the gas prices. The gas prices are the best they've ever been.
Yeah. Okay. I'm pretty sure that... Oh, make sure you listen to or check out our buddy Sean, a future papa.
Yeah.
Well, technically, he is a future dad. I think papa would be grandpa.
It depends.
Check him out on YouTube, Elite Diplodoc. So make sure you check that out. Am I missing anybody?
No.
Okay. All right.
Let's get into it, boys.
Get the drums running.
Let's get right into it. So I can
play your game.
I can take my shirt off so we can do it on my belly. Or I can take my pants off. Well, never mind. But Wardrum's number
I'm
one.
I'm not patting your butt.
It's the first time you've ever turned that down. April 14th, 1997. Raw and Nitro. This is fun. This is something I kind of wanted to try on the show. Let's go back and see which episode was really better. This took place on the same night. One's live, one's not.
Well, you wanted to try this on the show because we were told we couldn't do weed. So we had to try something different. I'm striking out.
The Godwins open up Raw.
Doing worse on here than I do on dating sites.
We got a couple matches. Raw takes place, one in Johannesburg, South Africa. Where's the other location, Doug? It's a sign to cast.
Yeah.
You don't remember.
No, I do not remember.
Well, the majority of it took place in South Africa.
Yeah, they had two matches in the United States location.
You don't know something.
Yeah.
Oh, be damn. And Nitro, of course.
I'm on my phone while we
Nitro takes place in the Core State Spectrum in Philadelphia, PA, hometown crowd.
Yeah.
Eric was there.
Hell yeah.
And we had a good time. I was there, too.
You weren't even born yet.
I was conceived at this show.
That was when the Flyers were running the city.
Yeah.
And legit. Yeah,
that's why Public Enemy had on Flyers jerseys and not Eagles jerseys.
Yep.
Let's start with Raw. I mean, Raw was kind of this is kind of the period where they're getting close to the Attitude Era. Get into it, Doug.
They're getting close to the Attitude Era. They're still sucking because they still have like the characters that are like they're starting to be less and less cartoony. Like the Godwins, who were really part of that gimmicky, you know, phrase. They're starting to get an edge to them. And, like, you're starting to, you know, see guys' attitudes change. You know, Bret Hart's attitude changes. Stone Cold Steve Austin, the people are really getting behind him, even though he wants everybody to go fuck themselves. Perfectly, you know, understandable as to why. But, and then, like, you also have, you know, Undertaker's the champion. You know, the week before, Undertaker had a fireball thrown in his face.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's just, they're getting there, but they're still getting their asses kicked by WCW because not many people really give a shit yet.
Yeah.
Because the company is technically, like, you still have Brett on top, you still have Shawn on top. Okay. Still have Brett on top, still have Shawn on top. Sid, when he's not playing softball. Undertaker, you know, and there's nothing wrong with, you know, Brett, Shawn, Undertaker, and Sid. It's just, you know, they couldn't really, as loyal as they were at that time, they just couldn't draw. But you had other guys coming up, like you had Rock on this show, you had, you know, Hunter Hearst Helmsley on this show, you had the future Road Dogg. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Savio Vega, main eventer anywhere in the country. You know, you had Vader on the show, Mankind. But, like, when your main event is Ahmed Johnson and Crush, and you're running it up against a main event that is Lex Luger and Kevin Nash,
yeah,
it's kind of hard to beat that.
Yeah, I will say, and we'll go into the first match, and we'll kind of drift back and forth here, but I will say Raw just felt a little behind. You know, I know they were starting to get there, but, like, I really enjoyed this Nitro, and this Raw just kind of lagged a little bit for me.
Yeah.
Yeah, I thought the same thing. It's boring.
Yeah, it was
a little boring. It felt like 95 Raw.
Yeah, I thought it was a little boring. I thought it dragged a little bit. Let's get into the first match. We got the Godwins against the Legion of Doom.
Okay. So they're both babyface.
Can I say something?
Go ahead.
And this was a go-home show, too. Let's not forget this. For In Your House, right?
Yeah, for In Your House, Revenge of the Taker.
Which is a weird In Your House, I have to say. Go ahead, Doug. Sorry.
Well, I mean, they all really had to have gimmick names instead of saying, like, In Your House, like, 1, In Your House, 2, In Your House, 54.
Yeah, you know, they had Rock Bottom and Generation
yeah.
X.
I mean, like, and they named this one after The Undertaker because, you know, Undertaker is the champion. And
exactly.
It wasn't really a bad In Your House. I mean, you had Undertaker, Mankind, and Austin and Hart working on top. You had Legion of Doom taking on Owen and Davey. I mean, you had other matches there that, like, you know, who cares? But
it was something, though.
Yeah.
This kind of was it. Just a lot of this, it felt like a lot of the talent I like on here. And some of these matches I thought would work a little more than they did. The Godwins and Legion of Doom is one of those matches. I thought this was a good power against power type team, like a bunch of big guys going at it.
Yeah.
So you don't expect a technical masterpiece or anything. But for what it was, I really didn't I mean, the crowd wasn't into it, didn't seem to be. There wasn't too much heat. Legion of Doom, like, got little pops, but they seemed a little past their prime at this point.
Yeah, the Road Warrior pop really didn't exist anymore.
Yeah. And the Godwins, because of, you know, Owen and Bulldog coming in at the end, they kind of got turned into heels, even though they're not.
Yeah, not yet.
And they just kind of, like,
the turn would come.
Into Southern Justice, right?
No, they would still be the Godwins for, like, another year, and then they turned into Southern Justice in, like, June of 98.
Okay. But yeah, this match for me, it was an all right opener, but I didn't really think too much of it. I thought it was less than decent, kind of like mediocre at best. Just I give it like 4 stars out of 10. I didn't think – actually, I go 3. Eric, what was your take on it?
I thought it was an all right opener for what it was. As you said, the crowd wasn't into it. Felt like it dragged a little bit, but I give it a 2.
So this match and the Godwins and the Legion of Doom, they had a really good, you know, they had a feud going on, but like, if you really look at it, if you dissect it, the matches really weren't that good.
Right.
I mean, I would give this one a 4, mainly because I am a fan of both teams.
Yeah.
And like, but you know, expectations were really high here. I mean, the best match they actually had against each other was the match where they broke Henry's neck.
Right.
Other than that, like, it was just, like, it was blah.
All right. Now let's go to the other channel for the opener. Nitro had a few more matches, so we'll stay out here for a little longer. But Chris Benoit and the Barbarian. This doesn't go too long, but I thought for what it was actually pretty hard hitting, and it was a pretty good opening match. I thought the promo after was pretty dog shit. Benoit is a babyface. His promos are bad. But I thought the man, him and Barbarian are two stiff workers, and it's kind of cool watching them go at it.
Yeah, and plus there's a story here. Benoit's got an issue with the Dungeon of Doom. And, like, so him coming out and the Barbarian, who was technically getting, you know, Lord help us, pushed at the time.
Right.
You know, him and Ming both. Benoit had really good chemistry with larger opponents.
Yeah.
I mean, I thought. And I, you know, it was, to me, it was a good match. Yes, it wasn't a good promo. But afterwards, like, when they were beating him up and then Mongo and Jarrett came out at the end.
Right.
You know, they came out at the end, like, as, you know, the Dungeon of Doom was leaving. Probably because Mongo probably tripped on his way out there. And Jeff Jarrett's useless. Jeff Jarrett, like, I know there's been worse horsemen out there, but Jeff Jarrett has got to be, like, at the top of, like, the worst horseman ever.
Yeah, I think he is probably the worst horseman
ever. I mean, up there with Deborah. Actually, no, Deborah was good as a horseman, a horseman valet, because she was really good at getting heat. But not because, like, she was a great talker or anything like that. It was that everybody knew she was a gold-digging bitch, and they wanted her off their fucking TV screen.
Yeah.
But, you know, we'll get more into that, into her, you know, well, we won't get into her. Too many people already have. But we'll get more into, like, her heat later. But no, I mean, I would give this opening match, even though it only went, you know, 2.5 minutes, I would still give it a 5.
Yeah, I'd go 5 too.
Yeah, I agree. I thought it was better than an opening match than Raw.
Yeah. Which is weird because here, like, the matches on Nitro really didn't go long.
Yeah.
The matches on Raw went long, but that's because, like, they were trying to, you know, pack a lot of action in those matches. Here, they were just trying to get so many matches on the card.
It was short and sweet, too.
Yeah.
Yeah. I thought it was a really good opener. I thought I liked the commentary team better on this, too. JR and as much as JR and Honky, I like Shivani, Heenan, and Tanay.
Yeah. I mean, and in this first hour of Nitro, it was obviously Shivani and Zbyszko, and Zbyszko could be funny too.
Yeah, he was funny. He was the man.
This wasn't the go home show for their pay per view, right?
No, the pay per view had already happened. Spring Stampede had already happened. Slamboree was like a month. It was like a month ahead of time.
But yeah. So let's go on to Dean Malenko and Hector Guerrero. Dean Malenko has a beef with the Guerreros. He's the champion. He's a dick. Hector's a little older, but that's okay. And this for the U.S. Championship goes about 3 minutes, 250.
Was Dean really a dick, though? He was more like a tweener. He was more like, no nonsense. I don't like Eddie Guerrero, so I'm in there with his brother. His brother obviously loves him. So because he loves somebody I hate, I'm going to beat the shit out of him.
Yeah,
but he really didn't beat the shit out of him. It was a very good chain wrestling match until Malenko hit the double underhook and then the cloverleaf.
Yeah. I don't know. I'd say he was being a dick. It was a good chain wrestling match. I think the only thing I would say, and I said this last night, I think Dean was just a little better than Hector at the time. I think Hector was getting old. It was getting a little, like, he was done. And Dean was, like, at his prime at that moment.
Yeah.
So that's my only issue with the match is I think Dean was carrying the load, it seemed like.
Yeah. Well, and you got to remember, too, you know, they always talk about, oh, there's so many Guerreros and all that. The funny thing is that Chavo Sr., Mondo, and Hector were all the same age. Eddie, or you know how like Mindy and I are like only 4 years apart, and then you came much, much later?
Yeah.
Okay. That's kind of the same thing. Like you're the Eddie of, you know, our family. Did you knock my phone over? Eddie came much later. And, you know, Chavo, you know, Junior, Chavo Senior son, you know, he was born just like 3 years after Eddie. So, you know, all the other Guerreros are just technically in adulthood. And then you have Eddie come in. So, like, yeah, Eddie was kind of in the prime of his career. But because the Guerreros were so much older, or the other Guerreros were so much older, it was... Yeah, but like they had to have other Guerreros for Dean to work with. They couldn't just be, you know, Chavo coming out to try to, or Chavo Jr. coming out to try to avenge Eddie.
Yeah,
like Hector had to come in. I mean, Chavo Sr. and Mondo was pretty much done.
Yeah,
like he didn't want to be.
He had it.
Yeah, he was pretty much done. He was okay sitting in a recliner eating Doritos. Or, you know, whatever he decided to eat. But, like, Hector still was passionate about being in the wrestling business. Obviously, Chavo Jr. Eddie was hurt at the time. So this was kind of a way to... this was kind of just a way to, you know, keep the storyline going while Eddie was hurt.
Yeah. And I think it did a good job at that. I'd give this match a 6 out of 10. I think this was above average. I think both guys kind of worked hard for the time limit.
I got 5.5.
Yep.
And Eddie coming out was deep, so.
I go 6.5.
Okay. We'll stay on WCW for right now. And then we'll go back to Raw. Next up, we have Rey Mysterio Jr. against Juventud Guerrero. Always a decent match. I mean, it didn't go very long, but a fun time. Good cruiserweight action. Rey hit a pretty bad dropkick botch, and then he kind of like made up for it with that hell of a Hurricanrana Steiner, whatever the fuck. And but that was like picture perfect, that finish.
Well, what was funny is that like. And this is, like, commentators nowadays are not necessarily allowed to point out the botches. Because, like, if you point out, like, somebody botching, you're going to get yelled at by Vince McMahon, even though his company is one big botch. mainly because he's still alive and running it. But, like, in WCW... Tony and Larry, because they didn't want to come off as stupid, even though, like, in the later years, like, Bischoff made Tony come off as stupid. So, like, you could say Zbyszko, he didn't want to look like an idiot. So if somebody botched something, they were going to point it out. So like when Zbyszko said, oh, they're not really connecting. And then like right after he says that, Ray connects.
Yeah. He's like, that one did. Oh, God.
Yeah. But like, it's just, I mean, these guys, they always had really good chemistry. It's just that, like when you're kind of doing like that car crash,
yeah,
you know, high spot style,
yeah.
It's very hard to nail every spot spot on. Even the dumb fucks nowadays, they can't hit every spot.
Yeah.
That's why, you know, they turned heel and like they're doing the low blows, which basically is just, you know, Matt Jackson tickling a man's testicles. But, but like, you know, even they're not perfect. They'll tell you they're perfect, and then you know that they're fucking liars.
So they're wrong?
Yeah. But, you know, nobody's, when you're working that kind of style, it's not always, you know, not everything's going to be picture perfect.
Yeah, that's why, like, RVD was very reckless.
Yeah, RVD was very reckless. I mean, like, when he would kick you in the face, 9 times out of 10, your teeth would fall out of your mouth. or he would give you a black eye or something like that, or break a jaw. But, like, you have to be careful working that style. When 90% of your offense comes off the top rope, you're very lucky if you nail, well, to be honest with you, you're lucky if you nail 60% of that offense.
Absolutely. Eric, what was your take on it?
I thought it was just a solid match. These two always put on some good matches. So I give it a solid 6.
I mean, I would go 6.5.
I'd actually go 7 for this one because I thought it was fun. It kept me in. It was interesting. Nitro. One thing I will say about Nitro this episode, and I will give a lot of credit for, there wasn't too much NWO presence in it. It was a little bit, especially, I mean, at the end and stuff, but there was a lot of other factors, and a lot of it was just kind of wrestling matches and, you know, like cruiserweight action and TV title action. And it was a lot of fun, and it wasn't all NWO fucking people up like previous episodes.
Right. Seen. And, like, you know, episode – because, like, now they're starting to realize, okay, you know, Bischoff is starting to realize – and it would get away from him later on when Kevin Nash took the book – but, like, Bischoff started to realize, okay, it doesn't just have to be NWO. Let's give these other people a shot. Let's see what they can do. And, you know, if we have to go back to NWO, we'll go back to it later. But, like, and also, too, you have 2 hours, and you have 100 people on your roster.
Right.
And more than, you know, back in the day, and Barry Horowitz said this when he was on our show, right? When you work for the company, or when you work for a wrestling company and they're doing a TV or a pay-per-view or whatever, or any kind of taping, even if you don't think you're going to be booked, go. Because, like, you know, Nitro had 2 dark matches before, you know, they went on air. Ice Train and Joe Gomez taking on the Extreme. Devin Storm and Ace Darling. And it was basically like, it was probably just Bischoff saying, all right, go out there. You're not going to be on camera, but, you know, Ice Train's pretty hot, so let's just take it out there. And then, you know,
quit looking at the cat.
Yeah. And then, you know, Medusa and Luna, who that was actually a storyline, you know, they went out and they wrestled a dark match. But the point is that, you know, when you're on,
don't worry, me. Just keep doing what you're
doing. When I'm doing their arm movements,
well,
get out of the.
Yeah.
This is what I do. Get your fucking arm out of the way.
You're not Italian.
So I don't know. This is what I do. Leave me alone.
Well, leave me alone because this is what I do.
All right, well, keep going. Finish your thought.
I'm going to backhand the phone out of her hand. But, like, when you have – yeah. Doing that in the middle of a fucking show.
Come on.
But, like, the thing is, when you are on that – when you're a part of that company, you have to go to the show even if you don't think you're needed.
Yeah.
Because – and it didn't matter, like, you know, who was there. It didn't matter what the storylines were. Bischoff usually just went out and picked and said, okay, this is what you're going to – we need you to go out there to do this. We need you to go out there to do that. There was no planning involved. It was just whoever you basically saw in the locker room.
All right, let's go over to the other channel. Let's Hunter Hearst Helmsley and Jesse James, the roadie. Well, not the roadie anymore, but
real Double J.
Yeah. This match sucked. It went about 15 minutes. It was pretty boring.
It went about 10 minutes too long. There's no reason why this match couldn't have gone 5 fucking minutes.
Yeah. Eric, what did you think of it?
Yeah, I mean, the Road Dogg, and this was before DX, obviously. How long before this was before DX?
Before Road Dogg was part of DX, it was like a year.
No.
Okay.
Well, before Road Dogg.
But this wasn't officially DX, was it?
Well, DX hadn't been formed yet, no.
But,
yeah.
This is the young Triple H. He was still going by Hunter Hearst Helmsley.
Yeah, he was still going by Hunter Hearst Helmsley. He had China with him. And this is kind of still...
I thought it was an okay match. I'd give it a 4.
I give it a 2. The match sucked.
I give it a 2, too.
Jesse James should not go 15 minutes, and Helmsley was not at the point yet to where he could go 15 minutes with anybody.
Yeah.
I mean, he could go 15 minutes, like, if him and Undertaker had to do it, or him and Bret had to do it. Not fucking Double J.
The real Double J.
Yeah, they were still both green in the ring.
Yeah, James,
I mean, Helmsley was getting better.
James never really did. He was more of a promo.
Yeah. Maybe 4 is too nice, but I'll stick with it.
So, yeah. So, Raw's sucking so far. Let's go back to WCW. Ultimo Dragon with the great Sonny Ono. Discount Fuji. Against... What was it? What was his nickname? Lane Carlson?
Lane Carlson, or Lenny Lane, as he would become known later on. You know, calling, comparing Sonny Ono at all to Mr. Fuji. Mr. Fuji's going to haunt you now.
I said he was Discount.
Yeah, well, still, like, doesn't matter. Like, you cannot, like, there's no comparison. I mean, he was probably trying to be Mr. Fuji, but he couldn't even be Mr. Fuji's poop.
I thought he was good.
Wow.
I love Sonny.
Oh, he was absolute dog shit.
He was a great manager.
Like, I love how, like, he would always interfere in Medusa's matches, even though, like, on any day of the week, Medusa could just pick him up and beat the shit out of him.
Yeah.
But even though he was Bischoff's boy, like, he just got... You know, if for some reason he got so much camera time and he was allowed to get over, which the only thing I would put him over is a cliff.
I think Sonny Ono was a pretty good manager.
Oh, he was dog shit.
I liked him.
But, yeah, I mean,
Dragon. Wait, aren't you friends with him on Facebook?
Probably not anymore.
You are friends with him on Facebook, guys.
Yes, I am.
You little hoe. You come out here talking shit about him. We don't need it, Sonny. Is Sonny Ono still with us?
Yeah, he's still alive.
Okay.
I guess we're never going to have him on the show.
Actually, no, that might not be the truth. It depends on how much I really hate him. Because, you know, test is dead and I still don't
get shit. Calm the fuck down. Ultimo Dragon Class Act, one of the greatest cruiserweights of all time. I know this for the TV title, but it was phenomenal. I would give this a 6 stars. Don't know Lynn Carlson, don't care to know him, but I thought Ultimo Dragon was awesome.
He did a gimmick with Lodi in like 99 to where like they were like together, but J.J. Dillon mistakenly thought that they were brothers, which I don't know if two brothers that would give each other a nice ball rub before a match.
don't look at me.
I don't know if that's, like, I don't know why that would classify anybody as a any two guys as brothers, you know, when you're tickling a tank. But, you know, JJ was getting old and, you know, he's kind of out there. And plus going out to drink every night for 6 years with Ric Flair really does some damage to your brain.
Makes you want to tickle tanks.
I mean, I don't know if Dylan wanted to tickle tanks. Ric Flair might now because he's been married to 5 women and none of them have worked out, so he might as well switch teams.
What would you
Wow.
We're still on Ultimate Dragon and Lane Carlson, right? I would give it a 5.
E Nasty?
I'll give it a 7.
Okay.
How about you?
But you said 6, right?
Yeah, I gave it a 6.
I went on a rant, and I still listen to you.
Now let's go to 6.
Is this the 6th match on the card?
It might be, but it's 6 wrestling. 6 against Prince Iaukea for the WCW World Cruiserweight Championship. I hate Prince Iaukea. I've never liked his work, but I enjoy 6. I thought this match was all right. It had a lot of cool flips and fun stuff in it. 6 was
submission was
really
cool.
Good. Yeah. And 6 was really good around this time. I give it a 5 out of 10.
Well, the funny thing about Prince Iaukea, he was trained by Boris Malenko,
mm-hmm.
which proves, you know, and everybody calls Boris Malenko the greatest wrestling trainer in the world, right? Well, even the greatest wrestling trainer in the world will train a bum. And it's not that Prince Iaukea, I'm sure he was a nice guy, and I'm sure, like, he tried to put in the work, but to me, it was, he got pushed too hard, too quick.
I agree.
With the whole TV title run and all that. And then, you know, at one point he did a main event on Nitro against Macho Man, which, I mean, Jesus Christ, you might as well have put fucking Lash LaRue in the main event. Oh, Lash wasn't around this time, but, I mean, Lash could work better. But it's just like, he push a guy too hard, too fast. He wasn't getting over. But 6 could work with anybody.
Yeah.
That's how good Sean Waltman was. And a lot of these guys that, like, could work, a lot of these matches on here, yes, a few of them were to enhance storyline purposes. But also, you had to have, it couldn't all be competitive matches.
Yeah.
You had to have, you know, a kind of a guy getting a push going against a guy that wasn't getting a push.
Right.
That's why, you know, you had Dean Malenko working Hector Guerrero, or Ultimo Dragon working Lane Carlson, or 6 working Prince Iaukea.
Yeah, you had someone really good with someone
Yeah, because it's just, You had to have somebody in there to help get, you know, the main guy over.
Right. What would you give this match?
I mean, I thought 6 did really well, so I'm going to give it a 7. I thought about saying 6, but
what about you, Eric?
I'll give it a 7. I was impressed with 6 here. Especially
right.
The submission. I didn't know he had that in his arsenal.
He just started using it.
Now let's go to my favorite match on the card. The Public Enemy, Johnny Grunge and Rocco Rock against High Voltage with very 90s names, Kenny Chaos and Robbie Rage, and a tag team street fight.
Yep.
It was about 5 minutes. I thought this was a lot of fun. Public Enemy was a big hit in Philadelphia from being with ECW.
Exactly. And yeah. Like the funny thing is that like Rage and Chaos, they had gotten 2 victories over Public Enemy. So they figured, okay, Philadelphia, let's do a Philadelphia street fight. We'll get Public Enemy over, which, you know, and Rage and Chaos, there were two guys that were trained at the power plant. So, you know, two good-looking kids, couldn't really work that well, but boy, could they sell, like, when they got, you know, when they got hit.
Yeah.
Like, they had really good matches with the Steiners.
Yes, they did.
Really good matches with Steiners. They had really good chemistry with Public Enemy. They made fucking Ming and Barbarian look like $1 million.
Right.
I mean, at one time, I think they even had a good match with Buff Bagwell and Scott Norton. Which, I mean, the most you can make them look like is $100. And about 80 of that, and about 80 of that's Buff Bagwell. But no, this was fun. And then, like, again, you know, Public Enemy getting their win back, and
I give it a 7 out of 10.
I would give it the same thing, because it's funny. Public Enemy, like High Voltage, really sold their asses off for him, and Public Enemy kind of getting like that mediocre push. And, you know, High Voltage, you know, getting, because High Voltage was on Nitro a lot. They were always putting guys over, but that's, you know, what you call putting the work in.
Yeah. Now let's go back to the other channel. Savio Vega with Crush representing the Nation against a kid that might end up doing something. You never know. Rocky Maivia. This match went about 18 minutes, longest match on the card, and, yeah.
Oy.
Rock is pretty green. Savio tried, but I think it went a little long.
Yeah, and they were filling time. And
too long.
No commentary helped either. Because, like, they were having trouble in South Africa with the commentary.
Yeah.
Which, if this were taped, how the hell do you have that much trouble? You have them go back in the fucking, in the studio and redub it if it's fucking, if it's pre-taped.
Right.
Like, if you notice that there's an issue, go back in the studio and have them redo it.
Right.
Jim Ross lived in Connecticut. I mean, well, everybody technically, I think, had to live in Connecticut around that time.
Really?
Well, I mean, like, the announcers and the, production people and all that.
Right.
The wrestlers didn't. But, why couldn't you just have them fucking go back into the studio and just redo it again? Or did nobody check the fucking tape? Like, was Michael Hayes sitting high to check the fucking tape? Or, you know, I mean, hell, Pritchard smoked too, so who knows what he was doing.
Right.
Idiots. You know, we make fun of WCW for being stupid and lazy sometimes. But, you know, the WWF really wasn't, you know, that much
all that perfect either.
No. Yeah. I mean, like, if you really go back and look at it and watch the episodes, I mean, we enjoyed Nitro a lot more than we enjoyed Raw. That's just because Raw was boring and no commentary doesn't help it.
No.
Yeah.
Not that Honky Tonk
and Honky Tonk Man doesn't do for me on commentary.
Yeah, I agree. I thought he was shit. I thought this match was shit. I thought most of this Raw was shit.
Yeah.
And I give this a 3 out of 10.
I would give it the same thing, 3 out of 10. I don't know why Lawler didn't why Lawler didn't go on this trip. Never mind. I was gonna make a joke, but I'm gonna refrain.
Yeah, it's probably a good idea.
How did they choose who went to South Africa and who didn't?
I don't know how they chose it. They just
they said, "Listen, assholes, this is what's happening."
They're just like they probably didn't even know that the tour was gonna happen.
yeah.
Well, it's not that they didn't know it was going to happen. They probably didn't know that it was getting taped for TV. They probably figured it was just going to be a fucking house show.
Yeah, it makes sense. It seemed like a more of a house show.
I think that's what it was supposed to be. And then they're just like, fuck it, we're going to... fuck it, we're just going to go and we're going to do... we're going to tape, you know... Half of this show is going to be put on Raw, and the other, and you know, and then we'll do a couple of matches that are going to be taped somewhere else.
Yeah, I think that's what happened. All right, let's go back. Nitro, Giant and Big L went about a minute. Big L, who is Big L?
He was 9-1-1 in ECW. This unstoppable guy. You know, always came in, delivered a choke slam to everybody. First came into WCW as Tombstone.
Okay.
Then, you know, got renamed Big Al. And
he lost to the Giant in a minute.
Yeah. So, well, Bischoff was basically just, I mean, Bischoff loved signing ECW guys.
Yeah.
Just so they could do jobs.
Yeah, doing nothing with him.
Yeah.
That's definitely what he did here. Yeah, this was like a 3 out of 10.
2.5. I mean, because the Giant wasn't even that good at delivering the choke slam.
Not yet, no. Eric?
He was still green, too.
He was.
I give it a 1.
All right. Let's go back to Raw.
By the way, like, we would never say this in front of Paul White because he would probably beat all of our asses.
Goldust and the Sultan, a.k.a. Rikishi. This was a weird gimmick. He had the Iron Sheik by his side. Goldust wins by DQ, goes about 11 minutes. I actually thought this match was kind of cool.
It was cool, but it had, like, kind of an abrupt ending with Helmsley and China coming out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which, why would he keep interfering in Goldust's matches? He beat him at WrestleMania. You should be done with him. Like, leave him alone. Just keep stroking Sean's. You could have been back. He could have been backstage stroking Sean's cock.
His cock.
Yeah, well.
Fancy.
Yeah. He could have been backstage doing that instead of coming out and doing. Well, I'm sure he would much rather do that, you know, because Sean is the only person that Triple H has had more sex with than Stephanie McMahon. Well, he's had more sex with Sean than he has had with Stephanie, and I haven't gotten any proof otherwise either. So, but like,
and I've said it better.
Was, huh?
Yeah, let Eric go.
I said I couldn't have said it better with what you said about not the Sean part, but the other part.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I didn't think you were going to insult Shawn Michaels. you were jealous of the boy. But no, like, the ending didn't need to happen. They could have given Goldust a clean win here.
They're a clean win. I'd go 6 out of 10 for this. I think it was
I'm neither clean nor a winner, my friend.
I'm giving it 5.
What would you rate it, Uncle Fester?
All right, 4.5.
Pugsley.
All right. Let's go back over and get off your phone. DDP and Conan. it goes about 2 minutes. DDP wins. Macho Man comes out and yells some stuff about Kimberly that's not very nice. Overall, I give this a 5 out of 10. I thought it was an all right match and segment. Conan being in the Dungeon of Doom was weird.
It was. I mean, he was actually a better fit in the NWO.
Yeah.
Because, you know, he kind of had that thug mentality.
Thug life.
Yeah. No, that was what John Cena did.
No, that was word life.
Oh.
Idiot.
Word thug.
Thug life's Tupac.
Go back on your phone.
I'm not on my phone. You're on yours.
Yeah. Anyway. So, yeah, I mean, this was a good match. I mean, it could have gone a few, because Conan's talented enough, it could have gone longer.
Yeah, but it didn't.
I know it didn't.
This is when, the Kevin Green promo afterwards, right?
Yeah, Kevin Green, did, earlier on in the night, they did the promo with Kevin Green and Ric Flair and Roddy Piper, you know, plugging the Slammer match they were going to have with the Outsiders and Styx. Which all three of those guys actually were really good promos.
Yeah.
Yeah. They were really good.
Yeah, I texted those last night saying this is really sad seeing Kevin Green do a promo because he just recently passed this month.
Roddy was going ham. And
yeah.
Him and Piper were having, or him and Ricky were having a lot of fun.
Yeah. Well, they always had a lot of fun.
They're nuts. Last night, you're like, they're nuts.
Yeah. But it's funny, like now, you know, Flair cuts a promo. You don't know what the hell he's talking about. At least back then, he still made like a little bit of sense.
Yeah, a little bit.
I mean, the only similarity between now and then, you know, now and then is that, like, you know, even still to this day, Flair cuts a promo. He strips down to his boxers. but like, yeah, no. Piper was starting to get to be that point, where. You really didn't understand what the fuck he was saying,
yeah.
But you knew it was good because you were just kind of just wrapped into it. And, like, you could understand, like, every other word.
Yeah.
Especially if they were insults thrown at Hogan.
Did anyone give this match a rating or no?
Diamond Dallas Page and Conan, I would give a 5.
Eric?
I'd give it a 5.
All right. Back to Raw.
Yay.
Mankind and Vader with the Great Paul Bear against the Headbangers, Mosh and Thrasher, about a couple years before Beaver Cleavage. Your favorite gimmick.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you can't really make fun of the mom in Beaver Cleavage because she's no longer here.
No.
She unfortunately passed away very young at the because of breast cancer. I almost said at the age of breast cancer, but. The cause was, you know, breast cancer. So, unfortunately, you know, I'm not going to make fun of her, but damn, that was a waste. Well, she was very attractive.
I understand.
But, like, no, I mean, this was... Mosh and Thrasher were actually a really good team.
Yeah, they were fun. Vince never really got them, from what I heard. They really didn't understand, but I like the grunge kind of. It was very 90s. It was very good. Mankind and Vader, this match, it wasn't great, but it wasn't bad. I would give this a 5 out of 10. The fight with Mankind and Vader at the end was kind of cool. So
they really did not get along as a team. And then, like, I mean, they were supposed to wrestle each other at WrestleMania 13, but Mick said no. And then, like, you know, Mick has said no to a couple of different WrestleMania matches. But, like, I can understand Mick saying, no, I don't want to work with Vader, because once a guy tears off your ear,
yeah.
It kind of is just like, you kind of put him on that, please don't let this motherfucker work with me list.
Yeah.
I'm on that list?
Yeah.
I've never ripped off a body part of Mick Foley's. How do you know what's in my date book?
I've known you for 8 years.
Be able to read to have a date book.
I can read
comics. Mankind and Vader. Yeah.
I'm
what would
fart
you give this?
You.
What would you give this?
5.5.
Eric.
5.
All right. Let's go back to Nitro. Jeff Jarrett and Steve McMichael, the Horsemen with Deborah. Go on your Deborah rant against Harlem Heat with Sister Sherry.
She did. I don't think she ever. Well, she got the wrestling business as far as like getting heat.
Yeah. People hated her.
Yeah, but they didn't hate her because she was a bad person. They hated her because the sound of her voice shriveled penises.
She was pretty.
Yeah, she had a
She got prettier because, you know, she had on those beauty queen dresses and all that, right?
Yeah.
So you couldn't really tell that she was, you know, packing a couple of melons. But in the WWF when she got to be, you know, when she got there and she was always wearing the jacket and the blouse with Jeff Jarrett, yeah, you know, she was hot and,
yeah,
you know, good. Here it was just like she talked, she was annoying. Like if they would have actually done like an in-ring like interaction, I know they kind of teased it on the episode, but if they would have actually done an in-ring something in ring, like if her and Sherry would have like wrestled or something like that, Sherry would have killed her.
Yeah. Sherry was a tough broad.
Yeah, exactly. And Deborah was just tough. Well, I mean, Mongo would know more than anybody that she was tough to live with. I mean,
you know, how long was she married to Mongo?
I think 12
longer than Austin.
Yeah, definitely longer than Austin. I mean, he was married to her for 12 years. You know, Mongo, one of the, you know, a lot of people make fun of my, I mean, I don't make fun of Mongo anymore because, you know, they would feel like dickheads because he's battling ALS, which, you know, is not nothing really to joke at. And it's sad that he's going through all that.
Yeah.
But, you know, and back when he was married to Deborah, he was dealing with ABS, annoying bitch syndrome. But,
all right, what would you give this match?
man, you really know when to cut it off. And God bless you. I would actually give it, an 8.
Really?
Because I actually thought it was pretty good. I mean, mainly when Jeff and Booker were in the ring and Stevie and Mongo were just in the corner scratching themselves.
Yeah, the four guys, they were very talented and entertaining, and it was fun. It was a lot of.
I loved it.
I give it a 7.5.
I loved it when Booker and Stevie would come to the ring and just start screaming at the camera.
Yeah,
and Mongo would do the same thing.
Yeah, a lot of Hogan would do the same thing.
Yeah, because it was funny. It's just like, all right, you really don't need to get on a microphone. Just shout in the camera, which nobody really does anymore.
Oh, we see that.
Yeah, and he does it to where like you get, they don't even have the mic and the camera turned on when he does it. But like even Sherry screaming at the camera, it's just like it's kind of a lost art because it like gets you hyped up for the match.
Bagwell was a big offender.
Yeah, well, Bagwell was a big offender on a lot of things. I mean, Indecent Exposure being one of them, but that's only because he got too much camera time. So it was really Bischoff that should be busted for Indecent Exposure for giving him all that camera time. But
did he really get busted for Indecent Exposure?
No, it was different.
Sure, were you joking
or? No, it was a joke saying that Buff Bagwell was on TV too much.
I thought it was good. Eric, what would you give this?
I gave it a 7.
All right. Main event time, Bubba. Let's go over to Raw.
Do we have to?
Yeah. Ahmed Johnson and Crush. Eric, what main event was better? Ahmed Johnson and Crush or Lex Luger and Kevin Nash?
Ooh. Lex Luger and Kevin Nash. And I'm not a fan of Kevin Nash, but as you know, all know in this show, I must say, shit on the guy.
He doesn't like Nash. Doug, What main event was better?
I would say Luger and Nash because Ahmed Johnson and Carr should not go 11 minutes and 30 seconds.
I like this match
better. Well, it was good until like Ahmed really had to put in work.
He just kept botching, and you just kept saying, this is better than Nash and Luke.
Yeah. Like, him doing a scissor kick, which, you know...
He went from the front.
Yeah, he went at it like, you know, Sheamus does the brogue kick.
Yeah.
But it was supposed to be a scissor kick.
Yeah.
A scissor kick, you're surprised. Booker T. I don't think Ahmed was watching Nitro. I mean, he was in the ring, so he couldn't have technically been watching... because they didn't have the technology really. It's not like, you know, they didn't have Apple Watches back then. So Mike Chioda couldn't have the Apple Watch and Nitro on and say, no, this is how you do the scissor kick.
Is Mike Chioda the ref?
I don't know. I just pulled a referee's name out of my ass.
He's not that old, is he?
No, he was there.
Was he?
Mike Chioda's been with the company since 92. Or he was with the company from... Actually, probably since the late 80s, because when he got fired, he was there almost 25 years.
Damn.
Who's the lead ref now?
Who's the lead referee now?
Yeah.
In WWE, I think it's Charles Robinson, because he's still there. He's the oldest. Little Nate?
Oh, wow.
Yeah. It's either Charles Robinson or John Cone.
Tom doesn't like cones. Yeah, this match sucked. Ahmed Johnson and Crush, I would give a 4 out of 10. Actually, no, I'd give it a 5.
I was going to say, like, it was a 5, and, like, you know, you had, like, the feel-good ending. Well, not, well, kind of a feel-good ending when he won.
Yeah, and then Farouk kind of making that challenge after.
Yeah. Which, of course, that match wouldn't be held to the next month at the next In Your House.
Yeah. But it was cool him talking to him in South Africa.
Yeah.
What would you give it, Eric?
I'd give it a 2, but Farouk was the leader, right? Because they made it seem like Savio Vega was the leader.
No, it was Farouk.
And when did The Rock join?
That summer.
He's a baby face for a little while longer. All right.
Yeah.
And Luger and Nash, what do we all think of that? I think it didn't last long enough. That was the only thing where the NWO kind of ruined it. I think that this WCW was kind of a highlight of them having really good undercards and a letdown of a main event.
Yeah.
And I like both guys, but they didn't do much. So I would go 5 out of 10 for this one, too.
I would go 5 out of 10 for this. I mean, the main plus about this was no Hogan.
Yeah.
Because then, you know, everybody else can shine. You know, not just Hogan. Well, because, you know, Hogan shined a lot, and that's just not just because he's bald and the light reflects off his head. But, like, he always hogged the spotlight. He always had to have, like, 4 or 5 segments just devoted to him. But, like, it was kind of a breath of fresh air with No Hogan on the TV.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, no, there was no shine on Raw either. I mean, wasn't he injured at the time?
Yeah.
Yeah. What would you give this one?
I give it a 5.
E Nasty?
I'm good at 4.
Now let's do our drum roll, our final thoughts, our ratings, and which show was better. Doug, what are you rating WCW Nitro for April 14th, 1997?
I would give it a 7 out of 10.
What would you give Raw?
A 5 out of 10.
So you enjoyed Nitro better?
Yes.
All right. Eric, what would you give Nitro?
7 out of 10.
And what would you give Raw?
2 out of 10.
Oh, so you thought it was shit.
Yeah. I don't think it's something more of a house show, and it didn't make sense to have to have in two different places.
Absolutely.
At least for me, it didn't make sense.
So, Nitro won.
So you're not even going to give a
I would give Nitro, even though a lot of the matches I gave like 6 or 7, I actually give the whole show an 8 out of 10. I thought it was really good. And the Raw, I would give a 5. I thought Nitro had the better product. I thought Nitro was better. And Raw just seemed a little behind the times at that time.
Yeah.
So that's where I would go. All right, guys. This was a lot of fun.
You know, if Clinton were on with us right now, he'd be fucking pissed because, you know, he's a big, he was Team Raw during the Monday Night Wars.
Yeah.
But you know what? Clinton, if you weren't here and Seggy told me to go fuck myself, so you can't defend Raw.
Oh, sorry. You spit on my computer, you piece of shit. anything else, gentlemen?
Just next week, it'll be John Cena versus Edge. Well, we're not actually going to have an exclusive match on the show. But,
are you sure?
Well, you have a John Cena and Edge wrestling figure, right?
Yeah.
There you go. But we'll do the rivalry retrospective. There's going to be a lot to get into, and it'll, of course, be the night before or the day before John Cena's birthday, which is one of the reasons why we're doing this. So that'll be fun. And then tomorrow,
day before your birthday.
Huh?
I said the day before your birthday.
Yeah, but we're not doing a show on me. We'd have to. Oh, we'd be. Blog talk would act in our asses.
We would get calls from the government.
All
right. Nitro 1, this is a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Bye.
Bye. Yes.
Bye, guys. Happy Easter, guys.